Barb Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music. Kelly Brighting is a musician who wears a lot of hats. At least one of those hats is often a cowboy hat and complements a vibrant, handcrafted ensemble of an outfit. Kelly grew up in Charlotte, learned to accompany herself on guitar while working as a raft guide on the Nantahala River, and spent more than a decade becoming part of the Surrey County musical tradition. In 2023, Kelly is part of multiple bands and projects, including the Blue Ridge Music Trail's Fine Tuned Project, her band, Kelly and the Cowboys, the Crooked Road Ramblers, the White Top Mountain Band, and her own creation, the Blue Ridge Opry. We sat down for a conversation with Kelly to learn more about her journey and the music she makes and loves. After college at Western Carolina University, Kelly moved to Surrey County to pursue music.
But when I got down to Surrey, there was a fiddle player and a guitar player, and they didn't have a banjo player. And so they wanted me to sink or swim and just start figuring out how it went. So I did. And we formed a band called Backstep, and that was with Chester McMillan and Nick McMillan, who were related also to Dix Freeman, who's banjo playing. That was the father-in-law of Chester and the grandfather of Nick, and his banjo playing was one of the styles that I honed in on, because they were obviously happy to pair up that sound again with, he had already passed. So we just had the recordings, a lot of cassette tape recording he did of himself at home as well.
Wow.
So I set my mind to that. And since they had learned, you know, not they, but since the fiddling had been learned from that banjoing, it was easy to go in reverse and fit the banjoing back to the fiddling that was, you know, amalgamated to it.
By living in Surrey County, Kelly was able to learn the music of that place in a special way.
And I lived there for a decade, and in that, I became really part of what's going on there. And it really, it had a lot to do with how my music developed to be there and not just be listening to a recording. Like, I feel like there can be a gap that, and we all have to learn music from where we are. So it's not a, you know, that you can't do that. But I think it's a greater thing when you can culturally get connected and be part of it and be in it and then learn how to do it, you know.
Old time music has a natural connection to older ways and times. But Kelly offered her perspective on how we should approach the music of the past as we play it in the present and the future.
Not a big proponent of the copying myself, you know. That's a thing for people, is to antiquify versions on recordings, which, look, we all need to go backwards as far as we can go, you know, which is only so far, which is unfortunate. But, you know, you can't, you can murder the music by not letting it live and breathe and move forward, you know, and that's like hard to understand when you're coming to old time music at first and you're like, oh, well, it's all this old stuff and we're going to do this, you know, virtual reenactment of this sound. And it's not really what they were doing.
The way Kelly remembers hearing old time music for the first time might be a surprise to many.
I remember very much the first time I heard old time music at Mount Airy Fiddlers Convention, and it's happening everywhere, right? There's jams just like every 10 feet, especially at this time. 23 years ago or four, but anyway, my initial response was, this sounds like machines. It sounds like a locomotive, all the different noises in an exact timing layered upon itself just sound like a train sounds.
Ever heard of a job description for a banjo? Kelly explained how place can impact the role of instruments.
In Surrey, I think there's a uniqueness there about the music, in that a lot of the banjo playing is fretless banjo playing, and they have philosophies. You know, I've said before that in different regional pockets, the job description for what the instrument is supposed to be doing is not identical. That just because you play the fiddle or the banjo or the guitar or whatever doesn't mean that it's exactly the same demands and expectations of what you're doing. In Surrey, the banjo job is to follow the fiddle as close as possible. So they have all these fretless banjos, so it's the same fretboard as the fiddle, so they can be even more together. So I like that in Round Peak music, there's an intensity, there's a chase that's always happening between the musicians, and that it's a little on the rowdy side, and it really connects with dancers.
It's hard to separate traditional music from the people who play it. Kelly talked about those musicians who embody the legends and ideas that live on within a specific style of music.
Paul Supfin and Benton Flippin and Max Snow and all these people were still sauntering around and playing. And so you were still able to reach your hand out, you know, metaphorically and touch this thing closer to the place where the stories come from, what we'll say, because obviously it went on and on before them as well. But it just felt like it was easy to settle in there for me in the job description that they had for the banjo and for so many maybe romantic reasons when you start to make these characters' lives in your imagination, you know.
Dance is an integral part of music in Western North Carolina. Kelly observed that playing music remains popular while dancing for a time was going away. A trip to the Cajun country of Louisiana gave her ideas on how to close the circle of music and
dance. I thought to myself, like, this is what these old people are talking about, that you don't understand. You can't envision how popular this was. And how, you know, it's so important, the dancers' relationship, to make a full circle with what this music is. It's dance music for house dances, for people to, you know, dance their troubles away and do that kind of stuff, you know. And it was after that exposure to that, that, you know, in my music, I felt like, oh, there's something we can do about this problem. You know, like there's... we're looking at this the wrong way. I thought to myself, like, we got to solve this dancer problem before it's not the circle at all. You know, it just becomes linear. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing like it. It's one of my favorite things about playing music is watching people dance. I like movement a lot, so I'm super into it. But it was an exciting change because it moved me closer to that thing I saw down there in the Cajun community where it's all connected. And I feel like it's coming around, you know, like the jam programs offers a lot of dance. And it's more important than music because I feel like people will always play music, that like you're never going to be able to stop these people. But the dancing thing is, that's something you teach people how to do. Like kids learn to normalize it from seeing everyone doing it. It goes on really well in a lot of places. But I feel like it takes the dance culture of people. This is an activity that you can do no matter how old you are or who you are. And everybody has an individual outlet, you know?
Kelly's musical experience tells the story of just how much music styles and habits can differ from one community to the next.
In Surrey, it's really fiddle driven. You know, they like instrumental tunes for dancing, and that's what they're up to. I mean, there are lots of renowned groups that had fantastic singing and all that. But in the environment, socially hanging out, that wasn't like what they were up to. You know, they didn't want to stop and sing a song. And when I came up here in the social music playing, just jamming, you know, with people, whatever, every couple tunes, somebody said, well, who's going to sing one, you know? And I thought, well, this is weird. Because I had, you know, I dove head first into that other stuff. And that's, you know, that's all I cared about knowing about and getting deep down in there, you know, like you would if it was your responsibility. And so up here, it's got a different, you know, treatment of what the material is going to be, just even hanging out like you would do if you were performing even. But it's even more the rhythm of a dance. And maybe because they have more dancers, you find more of that rhythm of the way that you would do a show. So you're going to play a couple fiddle tunes, and you're going to sing, you play some tunes, you sing again, and everybody takes turns, and that's kind of how it runs up here. And as a person who sings, I said, well, hey, now, this is good for me, getting a little bit more to say in that sense.
Kelly shared more about how she ended up in the right place.
So it was neat, too, because I got to be once again in the presence of a person who was, that's the real stuff that you're trying to reach out if you can in this life, like the wisest and the oldest and the most experienced people in music are where it's at. And I was pretty lucky in my journey here, stumbling through trying to learn how to play music and accidentally ending up just in these hot pocket places where I couldn't have done much better, you know, than where I landed both times, to be honest.
In October of 2022, Kelly was presented with an opportunity to create a different kind of show. What has come from that opportunity is the Blue Ridge Opry. Modeled on the Grand Ole Opry and other similar shows, Kelly's show is an organic and authentic approach to presenting music and dance. One of the ideas that inspired Kelly in the development of the Blue Ridge Opry was the idea of cultural pride.
A lot of times, my students that I was teaching in Mount Airy were like embarrassed about how their grandma was a flatfooter, right? Mm-hmm. And that comes down to cultural pride. Like they don't understand that this is awesome. Everything about this is amazing. And you're amazing for being in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And bringing that vibe in, if you will, to the Blue Ridge Opry is sort of like that celebration that I wish that was happening, where like, this is the best stuff. I like the idea of taking the everyday folks around me that are musically, you know, so good and have so much to offer and have done so much work mining through all that stuff to have the right kinds of tunes for people to see how interesting and unique music can be just infinitely in the Blue Ridge.
No stranger to hard work and dedication, Kelly's fingerprints are on literally every aspect of the Blue Ridge Opry.
I realize that in these country music programs, the outfits are flamboyant and of another nature. It's not something you can go to the grocery store in, you know, but they're also super costly to go buy from some custom maker, which there are a handful of lovely ones about. But on the shoestring budget, I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'm going to adapt my dressmaking and figure out how to make Western clothes for my shows, which is what I do. So every show I have a new outfit. It's fringed up and it has appliques and things of a different theme. I've had the music notes and Western steers and stars and all kinds of things on them. And it just escalates one thing after another, but it's a fun part of the show.
Kelly further explained the goal and method of what she's trying to do with the Blue Ridge Opry.
I tell the cast that really we're doing musical theater that's heavy on the music, that what we're presenting is an experience. It's visual, it's auditory, it's intellectual, and it's cultural all at the same time, all while being true to ourselves. You know, we're not changing who we are. We're just doing it better.
Kelly Brighting doesn't sit still for long. As a veteran of the Western North Carolina music scene and a dedicated teacher of that music, her influence is on track to reach the impact of those iconic musicians that have inspired her. In addition to her Blue Ridge Opry shows, she will be featured on the albums Fine-Tuned Volume 1, that should be album. In addition to her Blue Ridge Opry shows, she will be featured on the album Fine-Tuned Volume 1, set for release in summer 2023. To learn more about the Blue Ridge Music Trails, visit BlueRidgeMusicNC.com. The Fine-Tuned Project receives support from Come Here North Carolina, the North Carolina Arts Council, the WNC Bridge Foundation, and individual donors.
Down the road he comes to the turn, rocks in a road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down the line.
Down the Road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.